Good morning. So I'm just going to talk to you all today. We're going to have a conversation. And it's nothing that we have not basically been talking about, and it's not nothing new. But it's just things. I'm always a person that I always like to evaluate where I am. You know, always check my heart, always check my mind. Always make sure that I'm basically trying to be the best me that I can be. And so, the topic is it's a love thing, y'all. It's a love thing, y'all. And so, some of the questions are, have you ever found it hard to love someone? Yes. Even us, and as living a life of a believer. You know, I know it was easy for us to, you know, not like a lot of people when we weren't a believer. But even on us living in our acts of service, of us being a servant, sometimes we find it challenging. And you find yourself questioning yourself to make sure that the thoughts that you're thinking, that you're thinking right thoughts, justly thoughts, sobering thoughts, good thoughts, to make sure the bad thoughts that you're thinking aren't as bad as they should be. You get me? And we have to think that way because we are believers. So we think because we are believers, we think that we have to think a certain type of way. When, you know, God always, he wants in our authentic self. So if we really think a way, we can tell him because he knows. It's just a way of us cleaning up the real thoughts of how we think to make us feel better. Because we are believers. Y'all got me? Okay. So, and then over periods of time, it becomes a struggle because you begin to think more of, I shouldn't have thought that way because, you know, I'm a believer and I shouldn't be thinking this way. So you kind of wrestle with that back and forth. Y'all agree? Okay, and then even sometimes it's like, in our process of thinking, we're like, that person is just so rude. You know, they're rude. And then we start thinking other thoughts. And then we're like, just plain out disrespectful. You know, and it start building up. And you're like, man, should I be thinking that way? But they're rude. They're disrespectful. And it leave us scratching our head. And I'm wanting to be like, what in the world? Like, what in the world? You know, why are they acting like that? And I'm talking about, let alone an unbeliever, but I think my head really scratches when it's a believer because we're supposed to act a certain type of way. Okay? And it becomes frustrating. And so, and like I said, it's a love thing. And so, I began to think, because I'm always evaluating myself over years and years and years, I began to think, you know, is my love being tested? Because you expect the things, you expect people that aren't believers, you expect them to act a certain type of way. But then sometimes when a believer, you be like, you know, is this a joke? You know, is this really true? You know, are people really like this? You know, and then we begin to just accept, we believe that people are just like that, which is really not true because we always know that. For every reaction is a reason why people act the way they act. But then, you know, when the lies come in, you be like, well, we start to believe that, oh, this is just how believers act, you know, but we make excuses for the unbeliever. Then you got some unbelievers that act better than the believers. Right? Okay. So, so I went through that very quick. So then, we go reevaluating ourselves. talking about me, I'd be like, well, what is love? So I'm going to talk, I'm not going in depth because we've had the teaching, but I just want to refresh our memory so that things that we can think on and, you know, basically get to apply it more to our lives and understanding where we stand. Basically, we have a choice to either say, this is what I'm going to believe or this is what I'm going to do. We either do it or we don't. But again, I just want to bring us in remembrance of our hearts and our mind. Because one thing that I've learned is that it's not what people do to you. It's all in how we react. And that's what Jesus did. It's all in what he react. It's all in how you react. You know, it's how you counteract what comes towards you. So then I said, I was like, you know, what is love? And we learned love is agape. It's an unconditional love of God that God has for us. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. And then we can go a little further. So like I'm talking to you, I do have some scriptures, but I may not have all scriptures because, you know, I just want to talk. I just want to talk to you. And so we can go on further and say, love is forgiveness. Love is God. And so dealing with love, again, it says love is patient. And patience is the ability to wait and endure hardship for a long period of time without becoming upset. And that's not saying in the beginning, when the hardship come, that you're not going to be touched and your emotions are not going to be touched. But over a period of time, if we continue to allow God's love to lavish over us, we find it becoming easy. And so we'll find ourselves being patient, you know, with the hardship that's upon us, and we begin to view it differently. And that's how, you know, it becomes what the forbearance of, it becomes the forbearance is the ability to endure difficult circumstances, such as perseverance in the full of delay, tolerance of provocation without responding, and annoyance, anger, or for bearance when under strain, especially when failed with longer term of difficulties. So out of patience bring forbearance, which causes us to be able to be patient, which causes us to be able to be strong, which causes us to be able to stand under pressure without cracking. And that's what love does for us. And it's a ceasing or restraining from action, which we're exercising the patience, which gives us endurance. So when you love someone, you find yourself tolerating more than we should. Sometimes. But when we think about it, that's what God does, because he loves us. In our minds, we think, oh, I should have been. You know, he loves us, you know, longer. He tolerates us longer than he should. But that's what he does. That's what love does. There is no ending to the amount of love which someone should receive. Okay. Yeah. So let's take a pause and think. Right? So we're evaluating ourselves. Let's think of someone, or no, let's put ourselves in the situations. I think about, you know, of some of the things that if we think about, oh, I don't think I could have tolerated myself that long. But then God did. And then we take someone that got on our nerves and we'd be like, I don't know how I tolerated it that long. But we did because God did. Jesus did it with us. So then it goes on that love is kind. It's the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate, showing affection and gentleness. That's what love does. And so, another thing as I was studying is love is forgiveness. And it's one of the ultimate tests of love for forgiveness. It will not hold a grudge, become resentful, or fill the heart with bitterness. That's the power of forgiveness. So, are there things that we have, that we feel as though that we're not forgiving? Is it something that bothers us to the point of where it nags our brain and we're like, well, maybe, no, I'll wait for them a little longer. Maybe they'll get their stuff together. Maybe, you know, maybe this will turn. Well, I think we got to think about it differently and think about where our heart is, because what I'm finding is that there's even patience and the willingness to forgive. Do you get what I say when I say that? The patience and the willingness of to forgive because of the thorn of the things that has irked us so long. If it's irking us, then we might as well forgive it. And what I'm saying forgive it is to put it behind. It's there, but think about it in a different approach and begin to apply positivity to it. Even though it's there, it'll be there. But if we direct the way that we think about it, counteract it with a positive outlook, we can get past it quicker. And it feels like the flow of forgiveness, and no matter what it is, I mean, it doesn't even have to be a person. To me, forgiveness is across the board. Someone may have a different opinion from it, but forgiveness is forgiveness to me. Forgiveness, forget, you don't forget, but it's there, but you know, it's there, and it, you don't look at it the same, so you don't hold it. It's not causing you to use an emotion it's not causing you to move out of an emotion that is unnecessary. That's not a part of who you are. Loving, kindness, gentleness. So, okay. And again, forgiveness is to grant full pardon, to give up all claim and account on offense or debt. True forgiveness is doing the complete opposite of what the emotions tell a person to do. So that's what I was trying to say. And then forgiveness, to be real, must be unconditional. It does not mean that the hurt experience is minimized, but forgiveness cannot be bought, it cannot be earned, or it cannot be gained. It is to be absolute. That is without limits or without doubts. So if we experience something on whatever level or whatever case it may be, in order to get over it, sometimes you just might have to forget it. Even though you may not want to forget it, but it can be removed. Am I making sense? So regardless how big it may be, so I guess the more, I don't know where I got from forgiveness, but wherever the unforgiveness is, the deeper it is, the deeper you go. So I have a question. Because truth conquers all. Who's dealing with unforgiveness? So it's there. And it doesn't mean the violation is minimized. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean it does not matter, because it does. But you have to learn how to counteract it through love. The more it hurts, the more love you give. And then counteract it with the truth of God. It happened, but I'm not going to let it define who I am. Because I'm great, I'm wanted, I'm needed, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm beautiful, I'm wonderful. I am a son of God. He loves me without limits. And because he loves me without limits, I can love my offender without limits. It's a practice. It's a daily process. And one thing about it, any wall that we build up to protect ourselves, we have to tear it down layer by layer, brick by brick. God's not going to tear it down for us, because we built it. And whatever we built, we have to tear down. It's just like if we cook a burnt egg, nobody's going to clean our pan. We have to clean our own pan and get rid of it. And then it says, forgiveness can be, or even may be, the most difficult act of love. It is the difference between forgiving and letting go. If you forgive it, you can let it go, because it don't hold you prisoner. Because as long as you hold on to it, you're a prisoner to it. You're a slave to it. You're bond to it. It's bondage. And here's the thing. The brain never lets the person forget, but the heart will give forgiveness. So love. How do we make love a dominating part, or should I say a dominating characteristic in our life? How do we do that? And I would say that we must make love our number one priority. John says that, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And God has been teaching that us from the beginning of his teachings, basically from the foundation of the world. So we have to make that our first priority. Could you imagine if we get up in the morning and say, I'm just going to love on purpose? Not, I mean, if that's the first thing, so I'm just going to literally find someone to love on or something. Something to help someone know that they're loved. So then we can go all day and say, you know, I got love on my mind. Find someone to say a kind word to. A smile goes a long way. And most of us spend our time on what we think is important. Our family, our friends, prayer, church gatherings, serving our communities. And guess what? They all are valid. And scripture reminds us, as we said it earlier, 1 Corinthians 13:13. But if I donate all my goods to the poor, and I give all my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So I can go out and I can do a soup kitchen just to do it. But if I'm just there saying that I'm here, and yes, I'm in here gathering food and I'm feeding the poor. Okay, I'm feeding the poor. But it's something about looking in somebody's eyes and giving them food, and they looking at you with a smile, knowing that you're doing it because you love them. And there's some things, it was a girl, we went to a restaurant yesterday, and my friend was like, she loves her job. I said, she loves to serve. It became a little game, and was like, look how she treat her customers. Look how she treat her customers. But it's just about, it's a pleasantry. When you're serving someone and they feel it. So if I, you know, if I come to a prayer meeting and I can pray for things and love isn't flowing out of it, why should I pray? If I'm coming to church just to sit and not thinking about gaining all of what God is trying to instruct me to do, if I just take it as instruction and not try to apply it, and the love flows freely through me, why am I coming to church? If I'm spending time with my family just to say that this is another gathering, and while they're there, people are arguing, we're not trying to bring peace or resolution, what's the need of gathering with family? What is the need for it? And yes, we all have things going on, but we have to let love be our priority. So if we walk into a room full of chaos, and if love is our priority, then one person or someone should know that love is flowing from you, because they can feel it. They can sense it. That's how you do. You can look at people and say, she's not a good baby. You can see it. You can feel it. So we have to make love our number one priority. And then understand the importance of love. What's the importance of love? Do we first have to understand love? Now, when I started reading this, I got very tickled. I got very tickled. I just laughed. I said, this is some good stuff. So then we think about it. I have some scriptures. Okay, Jesus' response to the Pharisees, Matthew 22:37-40. And he said, he replied to them because I think the Pharisees were trying to test him. Because you know how he always encounter lies with truth. And so he had just got finished doing that. And his response to the Pharisees because the Pharisees start wanted to test him. But his response was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all of your mind. That was one of the first command. This is a first commandment. Love thy neighbor as their self. That was the second commandment of the response that he gave to them once he responded. But you know why I got so tickled? Because of the fact, and I said, Lord, I just said, Lord, I thank you. I could break down in tears. But even when we begin to decide the mission of our church, or, you know, what, how we were going to live, you know, what people were going to know us by. Even before we went into the in-depth study, we were love God, love one another. Because we came to the conclusion to only know that is the only way we're going to transform lives, through the love of Christ. So that's what he told them. But we said love God, but Jesus said with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. So sometimes we just do, you know, a little outer layer. We're going to love God. But at what stint are we just going to love him? Are we just going to love him? I mean, like, okay, what is love? How are we going to love him? How are we going to love our neighbors? How are we going to love our children? How are we going to love our friends? How are we going to love our coworkers? How are we going to love the people in the street? How are we going to love the addicts? How are we going to love the homosexual? How are we going to love the prostitution? How are we going to love these people? If we cannot love God properly, there's no way that they're going to be able to feel it from us. So we said, step up our love. I think Michelle told us that one time. We got to step it up. We have to come into it. So, and I believe the importance of that is, if you can love God that way, you can love yourself, because you are the pure image and split image, because you're the pure split image of him. So I guess my question would be, how do you love yourself? It's a love thing, y'all. It's a love thing. How do we love ourselves? How do we take care of ourselves? What do we think about ourselves? Because if I cannot think good thoughts about myself, I can't think it about anyone else. So how connected am I with God in my thoughts? Or how I'm supposed to love him? Because our love really affects others. So we should concentrate on all we do to show our love of God for God and for others. So then, think about this. I didn't write a scripture down for this. Forgive me. But to the people of Israel, as far as the believers today, it would seem logical for obedience to be pegged from which the law of love hangs. Right? Since the point of writing a law is a belief that someone is committed to. Okay, let me say it again, and then I'll explain it. So, we're talking about love, okay? I didn't write the scripture down for this, but I'll explain it to you. It says, to the people of Israel, as for the believers today, it would have been logical for obedience to be a hinge from which love hangs. The law. Right? Since the point of writing a law is just the belief of someone. So the law is basically like a belief. So we believe we can write our own laws. It's just a peg. It's just something. It's part of our belief system. So we can write our own laws in anything that we want to believe. I can believe something that can become law in my life. No hands on my walls. When you walk in my house, don't put your hands on my walls. Don't touch my walls. You touch my walls, it's a consequence. You'll never come over again. I don't care how much fun you have. I don't care how much you love me, but that's a law. So it's one of my beliefs. I really do believe that people don't put hands on walls because they're just dirty. That's something crazy, but it's my little thing. But that's one of my law. That's a law in my house. Don't touch my walls. That, and then little kids, when they be playing dirt, they be touching, they eat Cheetos. And make a mess. So do you understand? So the Bible says, it is written, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. So basically, he just made a request. It was a command. So So basically, we know we write wrong. We can write our own laws, dictate our own lives, but it's all dung. It doesn't follow in the love of a law that Jesus has applied for us. So it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay, John 14:5. Yet Jesus also said, I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. And then Apostle Paul in John 13:34 says, love does not wrong to your neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And you get that in Romans 13:10. So here we go. Love our neighbors. So Paul is just basically going along with the teaching from the beginning that Jesus began to teach. It's all about love. And we must obey the law of love. It is easy for us to excuse our indifferences to others merely because we have no legal obligation to help them. We don't have no legal obligation. It's not a law that we help someone in society, in the world, but not in the spiritual world. In the spiritual realm with Jesus. Because Jesus did not leave a loophole in the law of love. Wherever there is a demand for love, or wherever it is needed, whenever love demanded, we are to go beyond human legal requirements and initiate the love of God. And what does that look like? Giving hope to the hopeless. Imparting faith, hope, and love. Giving life to the lifeless. Infusing faith in the faithless. Imparting, breathing life where life no longer seems to reside. Jesus' simple request requires greater strength than any of us naturally possess. So how hard is it for us to love beyond what we see or what we feel? So we can't be driven by our emotions. So how many of us are driven by our emotions? I think, Melody, you talked about it last week, that sometimes you gotta snap back, because sometimes we can act out before we really think, because it's a habitual, form of act, something that we've been doing for so long. So then when we practice love, it has to be the first thing on our mind. So then we don't operate it, and then we can quickly draw ourselves back. And it's more powerful than any man-made weapon. Love is. Embodied with love, the love of Christ. That is one of our goals. For if one loves his neighbor, he will lift him up, not tear him down. He will not slander. He will not violate him. From the beginning, God's plan was to develop a people that reflect his character, which is love. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God in him. Love covers a multitude of sins. It brings light in all darkened areas of one's life. It replaces lies with truth. It heals. It values. It transforms. It goes beyond sentimental feelings. It breaks down barriers. It exposes hearts. Love is vulnerable. Love takes chances. It performs. It performs acts that steal hearts. And leave an impression on the soul. Love does the unexpected. God loves us so much, he demonstrated his mercy to us in the person, his son. Because no matter what state they are, life matters to God. No matter where they are, no matter what position that they're in. And because they are God's concerns, they should be our concerns too. Despite our differences. So, we too must love as God loves. Amen? Amen. Did I help anyone? It helped me. It's a love thing, y'all.